Thank God. Well, we are in a series called What It Means to Believe with the Heart. And so we've covered some of this. Let's look really quickly. Just kind of the text. Let's go ahead and find some scriptures. Romans 10 and Mark 11, 23. But then we're going to go... we'll go, so you can try find Romans 10 and Mark 11, and then we'll go to Romans 12, and then we'll go on from there. So you go to Romans 10, Mark 11, then you just go a couple chapters over to Romans 12. All right, Romans 10, we read this a number of times throughout the series. It's just it's kind of a main text. Romans 10, verse 9. Says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So verse 10 says it's with the heart one believes unto righteousness. So this is describing how you get born again. This is also describing how you believe God for anything. You believe with your heart. You don't believe with your head. You don't believe with your body. You believe with your heart. So we're talking about what it means to do that, and this is so important to know. And as we get into this, you just hopefully that'll be enlightening to you, and I believe it is already what it means to believe with the heart. Because then, so many people are trying to believe with their head, and or with the way they feel, and then you get defeated because you know your body can change. Your body can change for the good or the bad. You can believe God, be believing God, but your symptoms can get worse. And if you're going by your symptoms, you'll think it's not working. Well, why would you think it's not working? It's because you're looking at the wrong thing, and you don't realize that you're supposed to be believing with your heart. And so your body's subject to change, and just because it gets better doesn't mean you look at that. So you can't believe with your head or your feelings. You got to believe with your heart. So Romans 10:10 says it's with the heart one believes. So hold your finger there because we'll come back to Romans 12. Mark 11, 23 says, For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So here it says, if you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and do not doubt, or he does not doubt in his heart. So you don't want to doubt in your heart. And then it says, but believes that those things he says will be done. Well, where would you be believing? You'd be believing in your heart, because Romans 10 says that it's with your heart that you believe. So he says, if you say to the mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe in your heart, then what you say will come to pass. See, it doesn't just work just because you said it. You know, people... They'll make fun, and it's just ignorance. They'll be derogatory about they'll call it blab it, grab it, and you know, name it, claim it, all these things about what if you say something, you can have it, and they mock it. Well, it's in the Bible. Jesus said it, but it's not just saying it. It's not like magic words. It's both what you say and what you believe, but it's believing in your heart. So it's not just what you say. If you say it without believing, it's not going to work. But if you just believe and you don't release faith like we talked about in previous series, that's not going to work either. So it's with your heart that you believed. And we went over some of these, some things last week and the week before, went over some scriptures which we're not going to repeat. You can go back and listen to the recording. Looked at a few verses starting to talk about how that God is made and, or I mean, God made man in his own image and that God's a spirit, and we're not going to go over those things again. Romans 12, let's look there. We were kind of in the middle of this. We went over, I'll just read this, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Paul said that I keep my body under. He was saying, I keep my body under. I bring it into subjection. He's saying that the real person, the spirit man, he was bringing his body under. Kind of like you took your car to the shop. You know, it's not you are not the car. And we say, well, of course I'm not the car. Well, your body is not the real you. It's just, it's really more similar to a car, the way we use it, than most people think. Most people think, well, this is me. Well, it's yours. You own the body, and then technically, I mean, when people look at you, they think, well, I'm touching you, you know. If they touch your shoulder or something, I'm touching you. Well, you're touching my body. You're not touching me. In fact, you can't touch me with a physical finger or thing. The real you, we can't see the real us. But it is so real. It's a different dimension. It exists. People say, well, if you can't see it, everything's got to be somewhere and you got to see it and touch it. Yeah, the physical realm, that's true. But that's not all there is. The laws of physics, they govern the physical realm. But that's not all there is. People say, well, you got to be able to see it. Who says who? Well, that's just what we understand. Well, we don't understand a whole lot of stuff. So if we get all in the head where we got to be able to prove it, we got to be able to measure it with what? You can't measure spiritual things with physical instruments. You can't discern the spiritual with the natural. And you realize there's angels in this room right now. And there are demons in this building, if not in this room. But you can't see them, but they're there. How would you know they're there? Well, number one, the Bible says they're there. So the Bible says, you know, talking about children, their angel never departs from me. Or, you know, is it talks about, that's where we get a guardian angel. Well, there are angels. There is a spiritual realm. There are demons. Those are fallen angels or evil spirits. They're there, and people will, oh, that's just all imagination. Now, we haven't digressed. We're talking about the spiritual. We got, what is our spirit? It's the real us. But just because you can't see it, it's still there. This isn't some bedtime story or some make-believe thing. That existed before this realm. God created this realm, but the Bible says that that which is seen was made out of that which is not seen. How did it all come to pass? God created it. Who created God? God has always been. And this realm, you can't detect it with your physical senses. Your physical senses were made to detect things in this realm. Your eyes detect light and all the different frequencies and wavelengths. So that so you can that's what colors are. There's just different wavelengths of light. And you can see that with your eyes, but you don't pick them up with your ears. Because your ears detect sound. Now, you know, this is all this different energy is, you know, there's different forms of it manifest in different ways. But, you know, I can't feel this chair with my eyes. I can see it. I can't feel it, but I can feel it with my hands. You know, so our senses are made to detect different parts of this physical realm, but they don't pick up the spiritual. The spiritual, you detect God and spiritual things with your spirit, unless things are manifest in the physical. Now, Jesus came to the world and he was manifested in a physical body. He was still God. But, you know, unless a spirit manifests physically, you can't see him. You can't detect him. Now, you can detect an evil presence or the spirit of God with your spirit. It's not, you know, goosebumps. I mean, you can, it maybe could translate into something physical, but really you're picking it up with your spirit.
Well, this is the same part of your being that you believe God with, is your spirit.
So, look at Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. Keep moving. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we just touched on this last time. But the first verse says, you do something with your body. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You present your bodies. See, when we're born again, our spirits are recreated. But God doesn't do anything with our bodies. We're supposed to do something with our bodies. We're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's the real you does something with your body. We're supposed to do something with our body. God doesn't change your body. And that's why when we say, oh, God, just please, you know, if we're asking him just to change something in our bodies, that's not going to work. As far as, you know, just make me eat different or make my body just change like that. Now, we can believe for healing, but still, you're still claiming something he's done. But we got to do something with our bodies. You know, make me get up in the morning. He's not going to do it. We're supposed to do it. Not always easy, but he told us to do it. We're supposed to present our bodies. That's not the part of us that was renewed. So if God tells us to present our bodies, then we can do it. If it's a living sacrifice, then we can do it. And then verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that comes through reading and meditating on the Word of God. So God also put teachers in the church to teach the truth and to help people renew their minds. And what's going on right now is that our minds are being renewed to what God has said, what the Word has said, not what maybe we've seen in the natural realm, because really all you have that you see in the natural realm in the world is natural. People focus on the natural all the time and fleshly things, and if you do that all the time, then you just, that's all you have going through your mind is fleshly things. We need to change our mind to be aware that there is a spiritual. There is, like what we were just talking about there being a spirit realm. You realize most people just don't think about that? They might think, they might flash in their head that, oh, there's some spiritual thing, but to actually say there is a realm apart from what we see and we know physically, there's a whole realm. Most people, I would say, don't accept that, and it's not on their mind. But once you start renewing your mind to that fact, what the Bible teaches, that God, who is a spirit, created all of this out of what's not seen, out of spirit. He created this natural realm. Well, that opens up all kinds of things, because if he created this whole natural world, it's nothing for him to heal your body. When you think only naturally, you think this is all it is, and this is all we know, and you know the doctors only know this, and how could we change it? That's very limiting. But when you realize God created this natural realm and he created the human body and he's all powerful, then for him to change your body is nothing. It's nothing. I mean, it's not even, you know, him taking his pinky is overkill. Really? I mean, how powerful and how big is he? He created the whole universe. And your body needs tweaking in this one little area, boop, it's done. Well, how does that come? It comes through changing our mind so we line up and understand what really is, and as we do that, we can operate in a different place, because you can have faith in your heart, but if you keep switching back to your head,
Even if you have faith, see, this is why it's so important to believe, to know that faith is of the heart, because your head can override everything. You think, I'm doubting, and you think in your mind and you can't see any way, it'll just crush your spirit. Your spirit can, you can have faith, but if you don't understand that faith is there and that my mind, you can override your mind with your spirit if you know what's going on. You can say, I don't care, shut up mind, it doesn't matter, you just haven't caught up yet, because your spirit, do you realize your spirit can be ahead of your mind? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can be sitting listening to something and your spirit gets a hold of it and your mind's going, what? But your spirit's like, that's right, and going on. And I've had this happen over and over where it's like your mind's trying to catch up and almost put it into words or images, but your spirit's already got a hold of it and already knows. It already has seen. It's already like grabs a hold of something. Well, your spirit man's real. Your mind's trying to just wait. How does that work? And your spirit already knows. This is what's going to happen. It can already see this is how it's going to happen. I remember, you know, getting into this building, and even the building before, or when we first moved into this, we could see when we were first looking at this whole place, and before we had, you know, this was years before we moved in because it took a long time. But we start to see when we started to think of place, all the way it's laid out now. I mean, there were some tweaks, but the basic thing, we looked at it, there was office buildings like there is, or office rooms like there is on that side of the hall, but there were seven of them. And then this side of the hall was all divided. There used to be a you know, hallway that ran right down the middle of this, and this used to be our old space, and this back here was some common area for the building that used to be there, and then this over here was different offices. And we looked at the plan, and we could see how all these rooms, this is how we could just divide it. But it was like you could just see it. This is what we're going to do, and that we're going to be in here. And everything that you see, the way it's just like we could see that. But it was just dropped in before our head were going, and how are we going to get this? How are we ever going to move in here? But it was like we could see it. And it's just, then you just walk it out. And little things drop into place and whatever. But it's like you could just see that happening. I remember when we moved out here to Andover, before we moved out there, when we decided we were going to come out here, and I've told that story before, but in the time between when we decided we were going to come out here and we were actually out here, like I took a trip out here, and just me, we took a trip out here all together in February, January, just to check out the place. But then we sold our house in Oklahoma, and then I took a trip out here to find a rental house, I mean, to find a place to live. And I came out here, and I know the lady thought I was nuts, that the realtor that I dealt with, but we're driving around and looking at rental houses, and why are you moving out here? Well, you know, we're going to start a church, and I'm sure she's thinking, yeah, whatever, you weirdo from Oklahoma are going to come. I actually had somebody tell me this once. This wasn't this lady, it was a different lady, or different man. I don't know how we got into it about us coming out, and he's like, oh yeah, coming to save us all, right? I mean, he told me that to my face. Get us all saved. And I was like, oh boy. But I'm sure this lady, I was driving around in her very nice expensive car, and she's this realtor, and just probably thinking, I'm just got a Livewood here. See, this guy's weird. Yeah, just I'll help you, I'll get my commission, but I don't really ever want to talk to you again. But anyway, you know, we didn't have a congregation or anything. Anyway, I can remember this was in May in 2006, and you guys had a flood out here right before. It had been, you know, a lot of places flooded and stuff, and we were talking about that. But I remember driving around, I can see the road and us driving because we were going to different parts, but I can just see it. It was a nice day and it was sunny, and just driving around the place, my spirit was so excited to get out here. I didn't know anybody. This lady sitting next to me thinks I'm nuts. And I'm like, I can't wait to get out here. Inside, I was like, I'm ready to be out here. I don't know any of you. I have never met anybody other than this lady that lives out here. But inside, my spirit knew things that I'm supposed to be here. And we were excited about it. And I can just remember driving around here. It's like, I'm ready to get out here. And we had to find a place and, you know, move out here. And, you know, boy, that was another story, how to get, you know, just all that. But my point is that your spirit can know things your head does not know. And we have to go with our spirit. And so this, we haven't digressed. When you're talking, we're talking about believing with your heart. And when we get into that, your heart is the part of your being that you're using to believe with. And when you hold on and get a hold of what God has said, then your spirit can know things and you hook up with that and you can just push past all the stuff that your head's saying or all your body's trying to say, because your heart is alive to God. And if we'll hook up with that, we can stand right in the middle of circumstances that look impossible to your mind and feel impossible to your body. But if we start to realize it's my heart that's believing, not my head, then I can stand right in the middle of it. Now, if you think it's your head and you have to convince your head before you'll get the victory, you can lose. Because you can sit there going, my head still doesn't understand it. I must be doubting. Well, maybe your head's doubting, but it doesn't say if you doubt in your heart. When we read in Mark 11:23, it doesn't say, you know, if you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, it doesn't say, does not doubt in his head. So as long as you don't get off and to start thinking, yeah, your head might be going, what? I mean, because I was driving around here going, yeah, my head could have been, what am I doing? I don't know anybody. This, you know, you could just side in with that. But no, inside your heart, my heart was going, no, this, there's something here. I don't know what it is. I didn't know 12 years ahead that we would be where we are now. I mean, sometimes, honestly, we say this all the time. I look at Shelly and go, we're in Boston. We've been married almost 20 years. We have 4 kids, and we live in Massachusetts. Did you see this one coming? No, I didn't. When we got married, you know, and we didn't think we're going to end up here. That's been 12 years. It's almost 12 years since we, well, it's March, you know. So this, what I was just telling you was like, it would be 12 years in May ago. We didn't know anybody. We didn't see. And then God is just getting started. I mean, this may seem like a while, but this is just getting started with everything. And so, my point is that we can know things with our heart. It's with our heart. And there is a spiritual realm, and the angels can see certain things, and they know God's right. And don't you know, in the spirit realm, things can go on, and they can see what's going on, and the angels can see the opposition that's trying to push you off of things. There's a whole realm going on, and how do you perceive? You perceive with your heart. When we look and we just hook up with God and go after Him and believe what He is saying with our heart, and you just hook up with His will and His word, the angels start working on stuff. And even though you can't see it, stuff is going on. There is that whole realm that is real going on right now. And how do you perceive it? You perceive it by faith. By what God said, and you receive that. Faith is of the heart. You believe Him with your heart, and so you perceive with your heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we were saying we got to do something with our mind. When we renew our mind, you start thinking like that. Well, it may boggle your mind for certain things at the beginning, but after a while, you can train your mind to where it just agrees with what's in your heart. It just agrees with the Word. It's like, well, your mind can say, well, what the heck are we doing? You say, well, we're following God, and there's a spiritual realm, and God's right, and if He's right, it's going to work out. See, your mind can start thinking like that to where it doesn't give you as much problem in different areas. Now, it might still give you whatever. Your mind isn't automatically renewed across the board. You can renew it in one area and still be completely unrenewed in another area. So like we were just saying, you can start believing, you can start renewing your mind to the fact there's a spiritual realm. There is a God in heaven. There are angels. And you could start thinking like that as you walk about your day. Instead of just thinking this is all there is, you can say, there's a spiritual realm. God is real. He's in me now. There's angels that are helping me do things. And you could start being renewed to that. But on the other hand, you may not have any mind renewal in the area of finances that God wants for you. That, I mean, when you start thinking about that, people say, oh, well, I'm just bound to my job. Well, no, if you know God Almighty, and you know if He's told you to do something, then you know, all the resources are there for you to do it. You know, if a company sends somebody to go do something, or the military sends somebody to go do something, they don't, if you're part of that and it's on that business, you don't say, and by the way, you pay for it. Typically, if it's company business. Well, when God, if you realize God created the universe, He has all resources, He has connections everywhere, He knows people, and if He tells you to do something, He's already figured out the way to pay for it. He's already figured out what you need. What do we need to do? Go before Him and say, God, what's my part? What do I need to do to get prepared? How do I go about this thing? But the part about it being taken care of is already done. We just need to walk in it. Well, that's a part that we need to renew our mind to, because then you start expecting things. See, if we're just closed and we say, well, this is all there is and God can't do anything, well, it inhibits Him from doing anything about it. But the more we start renewing our mind, we start looking up and say, wait a minute, God, if God, this is what God's telling me, then He'll make a way. And we start looking at things like that. Well, now we can see things where maybe we didn't before, because our mind isn't fighting us. I'll give you another example from what I was just saying. When we came out here, we didn't know how we were going to pay for certain things, but we knew we had renewed our mind enough to know if God's telling us to do it, He's going to pay for it. And He did. But if we would have said, there's no way, we don't see it, you know, I could have said, wow, we're not going to be able to sell our house. You know, this is 2006, the market's starting to soften. We sold our house in 3 weeks in Oklahoma by ourselves. Put an ad in the paper, put a website there. One lady came in and done. But we could have said, well, we don't know. And then, I don't know, where are we going to live? And how are we going to do it? And we could have said no, because our mind could have been like that. Now, I'm not putting us up. I'm saying God had gotten us to that place. Not us. He had gotten us to that place. Because He sows into us, and He's not going to tell you something to do that you don't have the ability to do. So we had seen that. And so, you know, in step, like I was telling you, when we moved in this building, we could have said, we don't need it, and we don't have the people, and how are we going to pay for it? But there was something there, and we had seen, well, God has done this and this, so He can help us. And that's the way He leads all of us, step by step. Brings us up step by step. Always what's out front of you, you will be able to do it if He's telling you to it, and He's going to tell you things. You're going to always have to walk by faith. You're always going to have to walk by faith. You're never going to get to a place where you don't have to walk by faith. Sorry. Where you make it to coast only mode. That's never going to happen. I wish it would, honestly, at some point. I wish, got over the hump. Now it's just downhill. Now it's not you working it out. I'm just going with it. We're on this certain area right now. But you can feel like, I just wish I would just be downhill and I don't have to believe God anymore. That's wishful thinking. Because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You're going to have to believe Him, but He's always going to tell you something that that you can trust Him for. He's not going to tell you something way. I mean, you know, that you just, if He told you certain things down the line that He was going to do, you'd probably faint. You say, there's no way. Well, that's not what He's going to tell you now. What is He telling you next? That's what we have to look at. And you will have, if you follow Him, enough faith to do that. And then, as you exercise your faith, you'll be able to move to the next area. So, you can renew your mind, like we were talking about, just believe in the spiritual realm, but, you know, maybe in finances, you don't see it, or maybe in healing, people say, well, I can see finances and just the general, but I don't see healing. Well, what does that mean? You got to renew your mind to what? The Word of God, so that your mind isn't fighting you. You need to know that you believe with your heart, but you can shut it down with your mind if you don't know this truth and you don't press through. So man is a spirit being made in the image and likeness of God. We read that. You can write these down, but we already read them. Genesis 1:26, where it says God created man in His image. John 4:24, it says God is a spirit. So He's a spirit. We are not animals. You know, people have just, well, we're just another animal. Well, you know, we just evolved from animals, and we're just another, you know, the fish are our brothers and sisters, and we came out, and, you know, and then these different animals, we just came from them. Well, if that's true, then it's no more wrong to kill a human being than it is to kill a cow. We're just animals. What makes us different? Well, that's different. Why is it different? Why is it different? Well, because we're just higher. But why is it? I mean, you're just another animal. Why is it different? No, God created us in His image. We're different. The reason we're different is we have a spirit. Animals don't. Nowhere in the Bible it talks about animals having a spirit. Now, they have a soul, their mind, will, and emotions, but it's because you can see that. I mean, they're operating. They can, you know, a dog, they have a little bit of a personality and stuff. But when they die, it's done. But they're not, a human being has a spirit. Again, the Bible says God breathed life into Adam. And when the spirit's gone, the person's dead. But they still are existing. The body's dead, I should say. But animals are just are not in the same class as people. Now, let's see. We have 5 minutes. Praise God. Let's look over at Luke 16. We'll at least look at this. I might pick up here next time. Praise the Lord. Luke 16, verse 19. All right, there, Luke 16, 19, it says, "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.'" Now, just the first few verses, we're barely going to get in this, and we'll just have to pick up next time. We'll read some more here too, but if you look at verses 19 through 22, it says there's this rich man, and then there was Lazarus. And verse 22, "So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom." So notice that the angels are ministering spirits, it says in Hebrews. The angels carried him, that is, his spirit, away. In verse 22, it says, "So it was the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom." Well, what was carried? It was a spirit, a real person. So verse 23 then says, "Then he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus received evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented.'" Verse 26, "And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, and those from nor can those from there pass to us." So verse 22 says, the rich man was also died and was buried. The rich man's body was put in the grave, but the Bible says that in hell he lifted up his eyes. Verse 23. So you see verse 22, the rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes. So at that time, Abraham's body had been in the grave for years, yet the Bible says the rich man saw Abraham right there. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off. So notice, the rich man's dead. He was buried, but it says he lifted up his eyes. And then who do you see? Abraham. Well, he's been dead for a long, long time, right? But he sees Abraham. So you can conclude here that in the spirit realm, men and women, you know, when we say men, we're talking generally, look very similar to what they look like in this life. In other words, people can be recognized in heaven. We're going to know who they are. You can see that here. And so we're going to get more into those verses there and look at that a little bit. But praise God.